listening to Get Sports Radio.
Episode 30, Monday Night Quarterback, Week 6 edition. I am your host, Dan Klaskins. Happy to be back with you on another week of action. Week 6, getting ready to go into books. I'm bringing this to you right around 8:30 Eastern as Monday Night Football is off and running. Wrapping up the week that was the wild and wacky week that Week 6 was. We're going to get into that. Lots of headlines and injuries to talk about once again, including the loss of Aaron Rodgers, possibly for the season, for the Green Bay Packers. We had Adrian Peterson reborn in his return to being relevant in fantasy football. Definitely a big performance. We'll wrap up that. We've got a lot of things going on. We'll also, before we get out of here, take our early look at that Week 7 waiver wire. We got some game balls to hand out, and of course, our game use sock. If you want to subscribe to the podcast, please do so. You can get us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. Always at GetSportsInfo.com, where you can also find a lot of useful fantasy information. The Get Sports Info cheat sheet. The rankings by James Rapine. His studs, duds, and sleepers. You can get my office pool picks. It was brutal this week, but who's weren't, right? You can get that. All my great SoundCloud there, some of the clips from the SiriusXM Saturday morning show, Fantastic's Insider Football, where I'm the host. You can also get my Fox 19 weekly video breakdowns. And, of course, on the SoundCloud, you want to check out all the other highlights, including the podcast. But, man, we got a lot of stuff going on. Before we get into the knee-deep of football, do have a little bit of podcast news here for those of you subscribing. Getting ready to switch over. I've been working on switching platforms, trying to improve everything. Won't get into all that, but bottom line is, later this week, we'll be redirecting our subscription feed. So if you see something not working, you're not getting the podcast as normal on Friday or Monday, know that there's a new feed and the platform, it might be a little slower. So just keep your eyes on that, GetSportsInfo.com. Of course, follow me on Twitter at Dan Klaskins. I'll always have the links up there for you as well. And, like to talk fantasy on Twitter. Don't like to answer 7 questions a day from you. So I will engage and answer questions. If you want that kind of response, you want guaranteed response, you want me to help you coach your team, I've got that available too. It's just a premium service. Learn about that. Go to GetSportsInfo.com. Click on email advice, less than $1 a week. We'll do it, man. I'll let you set your lineups, help you do it, be there with a guaranteed response. Otherwise, it just depends on what I got going on. There's a lot of things on my plate, so don't have time to answer 500 Twitter questions an hour, but we'll make it for you. I do like engaging and appreciate all of you listening in. You can check out my articles and rankings, too, at Pro Football Focus, exclusively there. And, man, I'll tell you what, Week 6, it was tough sledding for everybody. I'll tell you, I started playing fantasy in 1990, but I've been doing this professionally since 2003, ranking players, talking about them on the radio, writing articles, projecting stats, publishing them online. And I can tell you, during that time span, I cannot remember a season in general that has been just so crazy all over the board. And I think Week 6 was the craziest week of this crazy season, one of the craziest weeks in my 15 years in the industry. And everything just went out the window. The fact the Giants won by 13 at Denver, are you kidding me? What about, not quite as shocking, but the Bears knocking off the Ravens, the Steelers, who suck on the road, look like crap at home last week, going to Kansas City and Arrowhead, one of the toughest places in football, and beat a 5-0 Chiefs team. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. To me, the craziest thing that happened, though, was the rebirth of Adrian Peterson. What was that? I mean, I talked about it last week. I said, hey, I don't mind you going and grabbing this guy, because volume alone told me that Adrian Peterson was going to see an uptick in value going to Arizona. It's even in some of my season-long leagues where I'm still sitting on a ton of fab and needed some depth. I probably made what many would have looked at as aggressive bids at that time. But at the end of the day, I ended up with him in a couple spots. But guess what? I didn't start him. I recommended to many of you not to start him. And what a debut he had in the Cardinals uniform. It couldn't have gone much better. Turned in a performance for the ages. 26 carries, including 2 inside the 5-yard line, finished with 138 yards and 2 touchdowns rushing. That's the first time he broke the century mark on the ground since week 16 of 2015. 2 runs of 15 plus yards. He played 48 snaps. That's 4 more snaps than he played in his entire short career as a New Orleans Saint. He did it in 1 game. It's going to be tough to follow that up next week, but the Rams are on top, and Los Angeles, they've allowed the most fantasy points to the season, 2 running backs to date, including a league-high 7 rushing touchdowns. So I think given that, given the anticipated volume, he's absolutely in most lineups this week. He's a solid RB2 candidate. I will probably, and I haven't gotten there quite yet, but I don't see a scenario where he's not in my top 20 in any format heading into next week, knowing that regression's ahead. Let's not overreact. Maybe this is a good time to sell high on Adrian Peterson. I'm not suggesting that this guy's going to return to old form here, but clearly there is a rebirth and some fresh breath of life into what could be some intriguing fantasy value, especially given this crazy running back market that we're looking at here in 2017. Let's get on to some of the other news. And unfortunately, it wasn't all doom and gloom. It wasn't all great, I should say. Yeah, in some cases, the news of the week was very doom and gloom, and including in Green Bay, where, I mean, it's looking like it's a season ender. That's to be determined, but definitely a lengthy season ender. And if even if he comes back, you're talking towards the last week or two of the regular season, best case scenario, not going to help you in fantasy. I'm not holding my breath for that, but Aaron Rodgers, he's going to have surgery on a broken right collarbone. It's a hit to his throwing side, and he took it in yesterday's game. You knew right from the get-go it was pretty serious. They carted him off, and for now, it's going to be Brett Hundley, the Packers' new starter, Joe Callahan behind him. The two of them have a collective 5 years of experience in the system, so we'll see. It wasn't very pretty in the relief effort I saw by Hundley. What's this mean for the fellow Packers is what's going to be interesting. They all have to take a ding in value. I'm not completely writing off Jordy Nelson and Davante Adams to be useless. I think those guys will still be guys that, you know, could be valuable fantasy pieces. The running back situation gets interesting. Ty Montgomery was worked back in the mix. Aaron Jones looked good, scaled back a little bit in this. But rest assured, you lose Aaron Rodgers, it's a major downgrade across the board. Other injuries of note from Sunday's action will stay at the quarterback position. This one burned me in a couple spots, including in some DFS shares. But Jameis Winston spraining his AC joint, and that basically sidelined him. Ryan Fitzpatrick came in relief and dazzled, nearly led the Bucs back from a 31-0 deficit to come back in that game, but they fell just short. But head coach Dirk Cutter confirming that Winston does have a sprained AC joint in his right throwing shoulder. He is classified as day-to-day. We're going to want to see how this one goes out throughout the week. I have a feeling he might be able to play through this. The question becomes, can he play at 100%? The guy's been struggling to put up stats anyway. This is a big concern and one we're going to have to keep our eyes on. We're also keeping our eyes on what's going on with Minnesota Vikings quarterback Teddy Bridgewater. And this after ESPN's Chris Mortensen reported on Monday that the Vikings plan to activate him from the PUP list. And he could practice as early as Wednesday. He gained clearance on Monday. And, you know, here's a team that is in search of a quarterback. Sam Bradford, his status very murky right now. Case Keenum, he's treading water here, but Bridgewater was a franchise quarterback. It remains to be seen how soon he'll get back into the mix, but we could have 3 quarterbacks in this quarterback battle, and I wouldn't be surprised at all to see Bridgewater be a guy that becomes the starter sooner rather than later. And at the very least, if I'm in a super flex league or a very deep league where I carry a lot of quarterbacks, Bridgewater, a guy I might be taking a flyer on this week in Fab. We look over at the other quarterback on the injury report. It's Trevor Siemian, and his shoulder injury is considered minor. It's his non-throwing shoulder, so that's a good thing. Of course, he hurt himself on a pick six. Looked absolutely brutal as the Broncos blew it on Sunday night at home to the Giants. But Adam Schefter reporting the injury is minor, and that Siemian will likely play in Week 7 against the Chargers. Can't say the same for his teammate, Emmanuel Sanders. He's been diagnosed with a sprained ankle. He's going to miss at least Week 7. It's believed to be a high ankle sprain, so this is probably a multiple-week injury. But it looked pretty bad at first, so I was thinking it could have been a season ender. The fact the MRI came back negative at least means that Sanders has a chance to be relevant at some point again this season. Stay tuned. Golden Tate, there's another wide receiver going down, and unfortunately, he's dealing with a shoulder issue. Going to miss a few weeks in all likelihood. They do have a bye week coming up, so may it only be a couple games here, but look for the Lions to now have to turn to Marvin Jones. I mean, Eric Ebron's been doing nothing. Kenny Galladay can't get on the field. Abdullah and Riddick have been blah. I mean, this offense is in trouble without Golden Tate. He was the one guy that was sort of that consistent hand of production. Meanwhile, Jordan Matthews, day-to-day with a thumb issue. We'll keep our eyes on him. Not overly enamored by that. At the running back, really only one big injury this week. Leonard Fournette, ankle injury, but they're saying it's no big deal. He should play, but we want to keep your eyes on him. If for some reason he's out and misses time, Chris Ivory becomes a very, very hot fantasy commodity. And I don't like to talk about kickers much, but of note, Dustin Hopkins, the Redskins kicker, basically has a hip issue here. He's in danger, real danger, missing Week 7. So look for the Redskins to work out kickers. And if you've got Hopkins on your team in a league where you actually still use kickers, you might want to look for an alternative for Sunday. Let's move on to some game balls and our Game U Sock Award. We'll acknowledge the best and the worst of Week 6. Let's start at quarterback. Like to see my guy Kirk Cousins taking off. He's looking real good. Pair of touchdowns through the air, 330 yards. Also ran for a touchdown. And Cousins, after a slow start, has been red hot over the last three. Like what lies ahead for him. And with that bye week behind you, he's basically going to become a weekly starting option at the quarterback position. So let's go ahead and acknowledge the one Matthew Stafford as well. 312 yards through the air, 52 attempts in a game that had over 1,000 yards and 90 total points in it. He was picked off three times and cost them the game, but fantasy points, we'll take the 312 yards and three touchdowns that he produced. And let's move on to the running back position. Who's getting our game balls there, you ask? Well, once again, Melvin Gordon getting a game ball. Obviously, we're giving Adrian Peterson one. Le'Veon Bell's going to get one, and Mark Ingram. Let's start with Gordon. He was the top producer of the week. He caught a touchdown. He ran for a touchdown. 34 total touches. 9 of those were catches. 83 yards on the ground. 67 through the air. Cha-ching, cha-ching. Adrian Peterson leaves. It bumped up Mark Ingram. It bumped up Alvin Kamara. Both finished as top 20 RBs in week number 6. RB2 is what Ingram ended up being with his two touchdowns, 114 yards on 25 carries. He also caught 5 balls for 36 yards, pulling in all 5 of his targets. We already talked about Peterson's stats, but 26 carries, 134 yards, 2 touchdowns, and Le'Veon Bell carrying the Steelers to that upset. 32 carries, 179 yards on the ground, a touchdown, and 6 targets for 3 catches and 12 yards, adding on a few more points for you PPRers. Let's go on to the receiver position. Who's getting the game balls at that position? Well, I'm going to give a game ball for sure to Larry Fitzgerald. He continues to prove me wrong. 10 catches, 138 yards, and a touchdown. Antonio Brown, I'm sick of giving him game balls, but you got to acknowledge him with 155 yards and a touchdown on his 8 catches. And let's give a game ball out to Marvin Jones. 14 targets, only caught 6 of them, 96 yards and a touchdown, but pretty much a quiet week at dominating performances anyway at receiver. And then Gronk, he's getting our game ball at tight end. Back from a miss in a week, 6 catches, 83 yards, and a pair of touchdowns. Our Game U Sock Award this week. So many candidates to choose from. So many disappointments out there. I feel like I had a whole roster of disappointments in a couple leagues because it was just one of those weeks. But I only give out one Game U Sock Award, and it's usually pretty worthy. This week, I had a little bit more trouble finding the guy that just popped off the board. But we're going to go to the receiver position, and we're definitely going to hand out a Game U Sock once again for Amari Cooper. Talk about brutal. Just 28 yards on 5 catches. 6 targets. So the targets were up from what we saw last week when he only had 2. But now, so to date on the season, his best performance was in week 1 where he scored a touchdown and had 62 yards. That was on the first drive of the season. He got that touchdown. In the 5 games since then, He has now gotten 33, 6, 9, 8, and 28 yards collectively with a grand total in those five games of 13 catches. He hasn't eclipsed four fantasy points in a standard league since week one. Man, he's getting stinky. And you know what's stinky? That Game U Sock Award we're giving him this week. Let's wrap up with our waiver wire. First look at who you want to grab in week number 7. And it's to the point of the season now, folks. If you're still, it's not the, you know, like there's a game changer out there on the wire this week. However, if you're still sitting on 60, 70% of your fab, you need to start spending it, man. You don't need to spend all of it and get stupid, but try to start improving your team where you can. If not, stash some players. Let's go position by position. If he's still out there, Carson Palmer, I'm ready to endorse him. He was on the waiver wire in a few of my leagues last week, and through these buys, he's going to get dropped. But, I mean, he's still about 60, 70% owned, so he's really not a waiver wire option. I think at the quarterback position, a couple guys, maybe Tyrod Taylor coming back. I think Andy Dalton, since Bill Lazor's been there, he's been QB10 in 3 weeks. Talk about a Bengals offense that scored 75 points in its last three games after just 9 in its first two since that change. But I think you also have to get Josh McCown a look. Matchup play perhaps this past week against the Patriots, but man, he stays healthy. I'm seeing production out of this team, and it might be garbage time at times, but he's a guy that's there. Running back, I think Chris Ivory, you know, the 9 receptions was an eye-opener for me. I think pretty surprising, to be honest. He had no targets the week before, for crying out loud, just 11 on the season. So that might be a little bit of a blip on the radar. But Fournette's a little dinged up here, and he's a rookie. I think they're going to have to start resting his carries. I think Ivory's a nice stash, probably one of the best running back plays of the week. In PPR leagues, you can look at Matt Forte. Samaje Perine still mostly inefficient, but did deliver on my sleeper call by scoring a touchdown. And I like Alex Collins in half-point or standard leagues, half-point PPR, but not really buying into the Deion Lewis. He took advantage of the fumble and Gillisley, but I'm just not trusting any of those Patriots running backs outside of maybe James White, who actually has a defined role and delivers on it. Marlon Mack, if he's still out there, let's keep up with him a little bit. But he likely got scooped up. And Orleans Darkwa, another guy. Big game Sunday night. 21 carries, 117 yards. Looks like he's taking control of that Giants backfield. Wide receivers and tight ends. You know, I mean, I'm lumping tight end in here because there's really nothing to talk about. Everybody's already picked up Evan Engram and Austin Seferian Jenkins, so they're not around. I guess if you're really desperate, you could look at Tyler Croft off the bye week with the news Tyler Eifert's done for the season. He could be a sneaky tight end in deeper leagues. So maybe give him a glance. At wide receiver, I talked about it, I believe, last week, but Nelson Aguilar. I mean, this guy, in some leagues he's scooped up, but some leagues he's not. If he's out there, I really like him. 30 targets on the season, 20 catches, 321 yards, 4 touchdowns. Enjoying working out of the slot for the Eagles. I think Jermaine Kearse is a guy you can look at. John Brown, he's probably already gone too. If he's still out there, he's my favorite waiver wire at receiver. But that's pretty much it. I'm not really dumping on the board with anybody else. Of course, you can follow me on Twitter. I'll update you more there. And of course, be sure to subscribe to the podcast. Like I said, you can get me twice a week during the season. I usually do one on Monday nights, Friday afternoons as well. Subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. Get it anytime at GetSportsInfo.com. I really appreciate you for listening. And if you want to leave me a review on iTunes or Stitcher, one of those two places, if you leave me a review, good or bad, I'll take the feedback. And you send me a screenshot of that review to the email address getsportsinfo@gmail.com. I will give a free subscription the rest of the season on my email coach service and help you with all your lineup questions. First 5 in, get that. Until then, and until next time, I'm Dan Klaskins. Thanks for listening in to the Get Sports Info Podcast. Get Sports Radio.